Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, we'll be speaking to third year journalism student Stephanie Costello about her recent victory in the European Commission part of the annual Student Media or SMedia Awards. Carmel will have her regular insight into some of the European stories which she believes will have a direct impact on us here. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe, and we'll have some wonderful music from Italy and Portugal for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. The European Investment Bank and the European Investment Fund have agreed to fund up to €70 million of the construction costs for 14 primary care centres around Ireland. The new centres will be built in Summerhill and Darndale in Dublin, Westport in Mayo, Boyle in Roscommon, Kilcock, Limerick and Dungarvan, to name several of many. The entire cost of the 14 primary care centres is expected to cost €142 million. Ruth DC of the European Commission office in Dublin says there is a good regional spread in the funding for the 14 centres.
Well, the money will fund primary care centres, which are seen to be a much better way of delivering healthcare. It's less waiting time, lower costs and a much more integrated service. And the care centres will be located in places all around the country, from Dublin to the west to Limerick. So there's a good regional spread.
The European Commission has approved €500,000 in funding to promote fruit and veg consumption outside Ireland via Bord Bia over the next 3 years. This brings the total European Union spend in Ireland in this area to €1 million for the promotion of fresh fruit and vegetable sales until 2018. Kevin Carey from Galway is a member of Cabinet for European Union Agricultural Commissioner Phil Hogan. He says the funding will promote the sales and marketing of Irish fruit and veg in foreign markets.
This money is assigned by the EU to help promote Irish food products in international markets, and particularly Bord Bia. It'll be used to give open new markets and new export opportunities for the Irish food sector abroad.
Ireland is the most youthful country in Europe. According to new figures out recently from Eurostat, we have the largest proportion of children under the age of 15, coming in at 22%. France is next on 18%, followed by the UK on 17.6%. Ruth DC of the European Commission office in Dublin says the number of people in Ireland under the age of 30 is exceptional.
Well, Ireland stands out in this study as the most youthful country in the EU, where 4 out of 10 Irish people are aged less than 30, and this is really quite exceptional. We also have the largest proportion of under 15s in the EU, and by quite a long margin. Ireland's fertility rate is high. It's the highest in the EU, but it's still slightly below replacement level.
Irish author Donal Ryan has won the Irish European Union Prize for Literature. He is one of 28 people across the European Union to be awarded the prize, which was announced recently in Brussels. Originally from Nenagh, County Tipperary, and now living in Limerick City, his works have sold close on 150,000 copies. Donal Ryan says today's win will be a great boost for access to various international markets.
As a writer, really, you know, I mean, one of your main things is to gain readership, and anything that will raise your profile is welcome, and it seems that this is a perfect way of doing it. You know, it's great. You know, I'm published already in Germany and France and Denmark, but anything that will kind of boost the progress of translations is great.
The European Consumer Centre has issued a warning to consumers to check who exactly they are dealing with if buying car parts online. The centre says it has received numerous complaints of where Irish people purchased motor parts in England on the internet and paid a money transfer only for the items not to be sent. Grace Duffy of the ECC office in Dublin says consumers should check the credibility of such websites before parting with money.
In these instances, mainly, unfortunately, prevention can be better than cure. So the first thing we'd advise consumers to do is to make sure that they do plenty of research and do a couple of internet searches on the trader and see if any negative feedback or concerns have been raised by other people. And if at all possible, try to avoid paying by bank transfer, simply because that money is very difficult to recover if something goes wrong. So if you're in a position to pay by credit card, then that's a far more secure method of payment.
Tomal O'Donohoe for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Ireland was one of seven EU countries where hourly labour costs fell last year. That's according to the latest Eurostat estimates. Hourly costs in Ireland fell by 0.2% year on year. However, Irish hourly labour costs at €29.80 remain in the top 10 in the EU. The country also recorded the joint largest drop in unemployment in the EU between February last year and February this year. Ireland's unemployment rate was 9.9%, down from 12.1% in February 2014. A Cork-based SME called Inform Bioscience has been awarded €50,000 to help bring a novel urine test to the market. The test can detect if a pregnant woman is experiencing renal damage that could preclude preeclampsia later in her pregnancy. The company is one of eight SMEs in Ireland to receive funding in the latest research and innovation funding round of Horizon 2020. The European Commission has found that restructuring aid granted by Ireland to Permanent TSB Bank is in line with EU state aid rules. The restructuring plan sets out the path for the bank to become viable in the long term, without further state support, whilst ensuring that the bank and its owners contribute to the cost of restructuring. Rules for taxing digital services sold across European borders are being reassessed just months after they came into force, responding to complaints that they represent an unreasonable burden on small businesses. The European Commission says it's now investigating possible adverse effects on the new system. Details of the measures are being considered, and the timetable for presenting them will be included in the Commission's Digital Single Market Strategy, due on the 6th of May. The European Commission is engaged in a struggle with the European Parliament over how to fund the EU's contribution to €315 billion investment fund that is supposed to revive the European economy with strategic investments in infrastructure. The Commission is adamant that despite the objections of MEPs, it must take one-third of the necessary money from the budget for Horizon 2020, the EU's programme for research and innovation. The Parliament's Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee and Budgets Committee are taking the lead in considering these amendments. The 2nd of April was World Autism Awareness Day, and the UN Secretary General launched an employment call to action by inviting businesses to promise to employ people on the autism spectrum. Ban Ki-moon said that people with autism have enormous potential, and due to the use of assistive technologies, non-verbal persons with autism can communicate and share their hidden capabilities. Yet, even where autism awareness is most advanced, more than 80% of adults with autism are unemployed. The 2015 European Social Innovation Competition is aimed at individuals and organisations that have game-changing ideas for EU social innovation projects. This year's theme is New Ways to Grow. It encourages entries with the potential to exemplify new models of growth capable of sustaining both financial value and social progress for citizens, government and enterprises alike. The three winners will pick up a prize of €50,000. The deadline is Friday, the 8th of May. This is Carmel O'Donohoe for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo a ninguém. Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo a ninguém.
Sei que às vezes eu não estou do teu lado, okay. E não te ligo por estar muito ocupado, tá bem. Tu não mereces eu deixar-te nesse estado,
eu sei.
Desculpa, não sei. ser esse príncipe encantado. Quando não respondo, não sei porquê é que me escondo. Sabes que sou teu, mas queres um romance apertado. Às vezes é um sufoco, outras vezes fico louco e dizes: não tens razão para te sentir enganado. Eu sei que me contas coisas que não contas a mais ninguém. Perguntamos ao tempo quanto tempo o tempo tem. Passam horas, dias, choras, sei que está tudo errado. Dizes: não faz embora, fica mais um bocado. Eu fico sempre por perto, por mais voltas que dês. Tu sabes que eu não me apego, depois vejo com porquês. Imaginas essas histórias tipo era uma vez. Baby, eu sou a folha em branco dos romances que lês.
Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo a ninguém. Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo a ninguém.
Que me queres e preferes aos outros que tu tens. Eu sei que é difícil quando o clima é propício. Controlas esse teu vício que tens por mim desde o início. Ok, eu quero e faço por isso. E tu queres um compromisso. E eu sou mais de improviso. E tu só queres ficar bem. E ficas doida comigo por teres noção do perigo. Mas eu não sei se consigo dar-te tudo o que tenho. Sabes que te quero, embora seja às vezes. Tento ser sincero, só que tu não me entendes. Não tenho culpa, mas não sinto o que tu sentes. Hoje ficas cá em casa uma vez, não são vezes.
Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo a ninguém. Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo a ninguém. Podes fazer o que quiseres, que eu não digo ninguém. Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo ninguém. Às vezes não sei o que queres e digo ok. Às vezes não sei o que faço e tu tá bem. Às vezes fazes de propósito, eu sei. Uma vez não são vezes e eu não digo ninguém.
That's a track called As Vezes by a very, very popular band in Portugal called Dama.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
As part of the annual Student Media Awards, or SMEDIAs, which are billed as the biggest night of the Irish student calendar, the European Commission have a special prize for the best written article by a student on the topic The EU in My Country. This year's winner of this prestigious award went to third-year journalism student in DIT Angel Street, Dubliner Stephanie Costello from nearby Ringsend. Europe Today spoke recently with Stephanie to get a bit more information of all the goings-on attached to her wonderful achievement. Stephanie, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today. Stephanie, when did you first hear that you were submitted into the European Commission end of the SMEDIA Awards?
I wrote this article a really long time ago when I got home from Erasmus, and it got published in my school newspaper in DIT. Yeah. And my editor at the time, Barry Lennon, he actually put me forward for this award. I didn't even know that he was nominating me first. So I got wind of it when he got onto me and just told me that he put me through. And then I got an email then by the media saying, congratulations, you've been nominated. So that was great. It wasn't an intentional thing, but it was great to be nominated in the first place.
And had he told you that you were being put into a particular category, or
yeah.
was it? Yeah.
Yeah. So the category itself was the European Commission Award, and the title was "What Europe Means to Me." And I suppose the article that I had written was largely representative of that of the statement for the award, so it just all kind of slotted into place at the time.
Right, brilliant. And you'd no idea of the application on the article when at the time you wrote
No, at the time, no. I'd just written it, And then, yeah, as I said, the editor of the edition, the DIT, Barry Lennon, just thought to himself that it was good and had a bit of faith in me, so he put it through. Because me, myself, I wouldn't ever have in a million years, I wouldn't have thought about even submitting it.
Right, okay, yeah. Brilliant. That's incredible, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
Well, fair play to Barry anyway for
fair
his...
Fair play to Barry, for yeah, his, that's it.
Well,
I own big time now.
Well put together there. And
yeah.
I mean, again, the article itself revolved around your experience on the Erasmus programme.
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that, Stephanie?
Yeah, well, Erasmus is basically, it's a programme that takes place in third level education,
yeah,
if you're studying a language or even if you're not studying a language. And it gives students the opportunity to go to a different country within Europe to continue what they're studying and to do it there for a semester or even for a year abroad. So I'm studying journalism and French in college. So as part of my course, I had to go to, I went to Brussels and I just continued my journalism studies over there for 6 months. And yeah, it was great. It surpassed everything that I thought it would be at the time. I learned a lot about myself living in a different country, completely on my own, you know, so.
And had you come into contact with the European Commission or the European Parliament while you were in Brussels?
Yeah, I did. We went up and we visited the Commission while we were there, and we actually went in and met the head of the media in there at the time, and he was just kind of explaining to us the work that goes into to reaching all these millions and millions of people,
yeah, indeed,
in the European,
yeah,
Union, and basically just how, in a way, it's a bit of a bureaucratic nightmare, you know, to kind of cover all of the... all the countries in one fell swoop, and how each country has a different, each country has way different issues that,
yeah, yeah,
that are important to them at the time. And kind of, I learned a lot about how Europe tries to have one streamlined message for every country, but how it's just almost impossible, really.
Okay, and but, after your experience, Stephanie, would you call yourself a Europhile now, or do you understand people's reluctance to engage with the European Union, or
how do you feel about it? I'd say at the moment I would, yeah, I'd consider myself a Europhile after doing the Erasmus, but like I mentioned in my article, I mean, the Europe that I was in, the Brussels that I was in, it was far removed from a lot of reading that I did, you know,
yeah,
about nationalism,
yeah,
and
yeah,
a lot of stuff that exists in academic circles. And maybe, you know, in governments in different countries in Europe, I will consider myself a Europhile. You know, I'm a young woman, and I met a lot of other young women and young men out there who are positive.
That's for sure,
about,
yeah,
about Europe and what it can do. Like, I suppose a lot of what my article was about at the time was sort of about our generation that are just coming out now. And a lot of things that I'd read, like particularly in like Time magazine, which were calling us, you know, the jobless generation, and even the,
yeah,
Irish Times calling us generation emigration. And I just came across something that Stefan Wolf wrote, and he called us the Erasmus generation, where he basically said that we are the most integrated generation in the history of Europe.
Yeah, yeah,
and and why that's a good thing, and that maybe people who are, you know, a bit older than us can't really see it from that point of view.
Yeah.
And how I think that gives us hope, you know, that we can kind of, through Erasmus, we can meet people on ground level and just interact with people from everywhere in Europe and just realise that we're all, you know, we all want the same thing. We all want to live in a harmonious country. We want everyone to get, we all want to get along, but also there's a lot of issues there, a lot of issues that God, Jesus, you know, I'm no politician, so I don't really know really much what more else to say about it. But
Well, I'm sure from your experience in Brussels, you probably realise that the politicians don't really have an awful lot to say in the running of Europe.
They haven't got a clue, to be honest. And it's hard. It's not even really their fault. It's as I said earlier, it's a bureaucratic nightmare over there in Brussels, and it's all red tape. And it's just, I think you know, it's well known there that Europe,
yeah,
really, they've.
But it functions very well, though, for the amount of bureaucracy that goes on into it.
Yeah,
well.
It does to an extent. But I'd like to see more people my age, you know, getting their chance in there, and I'd like to see more people my age getting to do, you know, more internships within,
yeah,
Europe and within the media in general, that they're even, you know, getting paid for and things like that, so they could actually sustain themselves and, you know, actually take a part in how Europe's run and how the country's run. Because by the time we get to the age of 30 and 40, sure, we'll be completely out of touch. We won't know. We won't know what the younger generation wants. So,
tell me about it. Ah, well, it depends on how much of a man of the street you are, or a woman of the street you are.
This,
you know,
is it.
And
this
how,
is it.
How well you keep down with the kids in the hood, you know.
That's it.
You know, you gotta keep. And was there a particular paradigm for your article itself? Were you confined to a particular amount of words, or was there what was the
No, I wasn't. Now the. I wasn't at all. I sort of just had a few things that I wanted to get off my chest. Like, I just wanted to talk a bit about why the media keep talking about our generation, you know, why there's not enough voices in the media our age talking about our generation. And I just thought it was a bit unfair that they just kept calling us generation immigration, jobless generation. Yeah. And how, for me, picking that up every day, I mean, we didn't create this. We had nothing to do with the European Union, you know, the formation of it. We had nothing to do with the banking crisis. We had nothing to do with, you know, the ECB or anything like that. And I just thought it was a bit unfair. And I suppose I just wanted, like Joe Justin says, just get it off my chest, you know, a little bit. So I just kind of ranted a bit. I'd love to work in journalism overall. But as I said, I mean, I'm 26. So wherever it takes me, I'm glad. I'd be more than happy and I'm more than grateful to go at this point in my life. You know, I just kind of, all I want to do is have some sort of platform where I can kind of talk about what I think is affecting not just me, but a lot of my friends and a lot of people, you know, my age. So wherever I get a platform to actually just be able to talk about the issues that are affecting young people today, I'd be delighted, to be honest with you. I'd be delighted with that.
And will you stick with the print journalism, or would you fancy a career in the broadcast medium?
I don't know. My dad always told me that I had a bit of a face for radio, so we'll see how it goes.
That's not a very nice thing for your dad to say.
I know, But it keeps me on my toes, you know. But primarily print will be my goal. But like I said, in any way, shape, or form, if anyone wants to listen to me and look at me, then happy days, happy days.
Well, you've obviously got a talent, Stephanie, for print journalism and for the written word. We haven't seen the article because they're protecting it, pending sort of developments. And as I said, we won't talk about that for the moment. But hopefully, we at some stage we can get back to you and talk to you again about what's happening with you, Stephanie. Listen, I want to say on behalf of all our listeners and the people involved in the radio station here, congratulations to you on your achievement. It's a wonderful thing, and again,
thanks
for something that you weren't actually particularly looking for. It's wonderful when these things happen, and again, you've got a particular talent there that obviously people are able to spot. So the best of luck with everything in your career.
Thanks a million, John. I really appreciate it.
Oggi la gente ti giudica per quale immagine hai, vede soltanto le maschere, non sa nemmeno chi sei. Devi mostrarti invincibile, collezionare trofei, ma quando piangi in silenzio scopri davvero chi sei. Credo negli esseri umani, credo negli esseri umani, credo negli esseri umani che hanno coraggio, coraggio di essere umani. Credo negli esseri umani, credo negli esseri umani, credo negli esseri umani che hanno coraggio, coraggio di essere umani. Prendi la mano e rialzati, puoi fidarti di me, io sono uno qualunque, uno dei tanti uguale a te. Ma che splendore che sei nella tua fragilità, e ti ricordo che non siamo soli a combattere questa realtà. Credo negli esseri umani, credo negli esseri umani, credo negli esseri umani che hanno coraggio, coraggio di essere umani. Credo negli esseri umani, esseri umani, credo negli esseri umani che hanno coraggio, coraggio di essere umani.
That's Marco Mengoni, and it's number 6 in the Italian charts. Esseri Umani. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to this year's Smedia Awards winner, Stephanie Costello, for joining us this week. If you want to get in contact with the programme, you can give us a ring on 865-8020, that's 865-8020, or you can text us on 087-977-1032, 087-977-1032. Don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to the various items that we mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme, Europe Today.